Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
On that Twitter.
Who is Weaver?
The Dreamweaver?
He's like Dreamweaver 7 or something.
Well, he was good last night, that's for sure. 10 Ks for Luke Weaver and a Cardinal victory. And in just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Cardinals and special evening that they're going to have on Saturday, September the 9th to honor and to raise awareness to bone marrow cancer. And Alexis Strauss is going to join us in just a little bit. But I now have the text lines open. And here was our last text, and this is from the Dogtown Astrovan. He writes, Cat, I was visiting my girlfriend's family in Rochester, New York last week, and we saw the beautiful campus of Geneseo State.
Hold on. It is beautiful.
Oh, that's where you learn about lunch meats.
You son of...
He said he looked a lot, and he said, you'll be happy to know they've constructed a monument to you made strictly of prosciutto.
Very nice. Oh, wow. It's about time.
Very nice.
So you got that going for you, which is nice.
How will that hold up in the weather?
Well, you put varnish on it.
What's the nickname of Geneseo?
They are the Blue Knights.
The Blue Knights. Well, guys, a friend of the show, a friend of InsideSTL.com, a former intern here, and, of course, we loved your pops, and a day coming up at Busch Stadium on September the 9th to honor longtime Cardinals beat writer Joe Strauss joining us. Is his daughter and a fine individual herself, Alexis Strauss. Alexis, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing well.
I know you. I wish Tim was here because Tim has such an affinity for you. But you, as somebody who knows Tim and Anna Marie, have to be very excited about their new arrival, a young Jameson born last night.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited. We were emailing about some stuff. Earlier in the night, and he was like, I think, you know, tonight will be the night, and he texted me at 11. It's great.
Yeah, very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about a special day coming up that the Cardinals are involved in and you're involved with. Join for Joe, the bone marrow donor drive. Hard to believe that more than 14,000 individuals remain in need of a donor, Alexis. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen on the 9th.
So what's going to happen on the 9th is basically our goal is just to raise awareness about blood cancer, leukemia, lymphoma. We're just going to be trying to get as many people as we can to join the registry. The reason why the registry is so important is because about 70% of those who, have leukemia, lymphoma, they don't have a donor necessarily in their family. You know, my dad, he was fortunate enough to where I qualified to be a donor. His sister ended up doing the donation. But it's very important for people to just raise awareness about it. You know, breast cancer, melanoma, those cancers are more widespread, technically do get more awareness. And there's so many people who get diagnosed with a blood cancer every single day. So it's just a great cause, bring awareness, try to get people out there, join the registry. It takes no time at all to join. It's a pretty easy process to join, like to get on the registry. So I highly encourage people to come out and try to do it.
And what is exactly involved if you want to be a donor? What would that process be like?
So the process is basically they'll ask you some questions about your medical history. It's slightly more complicated than it would be to become, just donate blood, because it's more, I mean, they're literally sticking a needle in you to get some bone marrow. I mean, it doesn't sound very pleasant. No. But the testing itself, they'll just take a swab of your cheek, and then they get so much information just from that swab, you know, about your DNA, about your makeup, how you qualify to be the donor. And it's amazing to see who in the world you can qualify to be a donor. You know, when we were at Siteman Cancer Center where my dad was being treated, the nurses would tell us these amazing stories about how someone in Europe could be someone's donor here and how they may never meet each other, but it's amazing how someone else, not even in your community, can help change your life. And the registry is so important because it becomes an international database for doctors to pull from. And it's just amazing how that can even change someone's life, potentially save their life. So,
yeah, the more awareness, the more people that know about it, the more people that get tested to see. In fact, Alexis, last year's drive added over 100 potential donors to the registry, and that's awesome. I mean, that means, you know, it's 100 people that could be helped.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is amazing. You know, I was brought up by the nurse that I could register to be the donor for my dad when he was sick.
Yep.
And we sort of did it behind my dad's back. He didn't want me registering. He didn't want me to feel like I had to donate for him if it came to that. But, you know, it's in those mindsets. Like, what is a mouth swab going to really do? Like, you know, it's, I can swab my mouth if it means I could save my dad's life. And what was so interesting about it, they try to get children to sign up and try to see if they can be a match for their parent. But oftentimes, they're only a 50% match. And what was weird, I was a 70% match for my dad, which is very rare for a child because theoretically you get 50% of each of your parents' genes. And so it's more than often not higher than 50%. So I was 70%, so I was considered an option for his donation process because of the type of leukemia he had. And his sister, weirdly enough, ended up becoming a 100% match. And the sad thing is, though, you know, there's 14,000 people on the registry. All those people don't have someone in their family who qualifies. And we were fortunate enough where we had two options. So, I mean, the registry is just really important. And what people also should know, there needs to be a lot more diversity on the registry. What we didn't know when the nurse was explaining this to us, and you would think it's just your genetics, it shouldn't make a difference. You know, a white person can't really donate for someone of color, which is crazy to me, but it's true. I guess it's something with, you know, a genetic something. I don't know what it is. But they were explaining that to us, and they're like, very important for diversity to be on that registry for that purpose. So, I mean, I just really encourage anyone to come out. It's just a mouth swab. It takes 15 minutes, if that, to join the registry. You know, there are people on the registry who never get the call saying, you know, they never are approached with the choice to, hey, do you want to actually be a donor for this person? We found someone who's a match for you. And, but just having the option, you know, because I think it's amazing that I could potentially save someone's life. And I saw how the process was for my dad, the whole donor, him receiving it, my aunt donating for him. And it's just truly amazing. I mean, how your body can, you know, develop something like that and how it can be easily so donated towards someone else. So,
Alexis, I just want to say that I think it's great what you're doing. I think it's great that you're helping people. One of the other things that I think is great about this event, that you've done it before, is everyone remembers Joe. You know, we miss him on this show so much. So many people miss him. But the way everyone has kind of rallied behind you and behind this effort says a lot about how much love people had for your dad, doesn't it?
No, I mean, it's truly remarkable. You know, ever since he died, it's always sort of been my personal mission to be involved with different cancer projects, whether it's Relay for Life at Mizzou, who I raised myself $3,000 for last semester, and I was a team captain for my sorority. Whether it's being involved with this, whether it's just, you know, for a while I was volunteering at MU Women's and Children's, working with those kids who are going through it. Like, it's just sort of been my personal mission. So seeing other people wanting to be a part of it, wanting to be involved, it really says a lot because, you know, even if it's just their personal experience with cancer or their, you know, maybe they've went through it or a mother went through it, a father, a relative, a friend, everyone in some form has experienced cancer affecting them personally, and seeing how they want to support my mom, me, you know, honor my dad, it's great. It just makes me feel great because I know I do that for me, but for other people who, you know, I don't know if my dad personally touched them, personally affected their life, whether it was through him being sarcastic too much and on the radio, or, you know, his writing. But it is amazing how people still want to be a part of it, still talk about him. It's comforting to me, but it's amazing because they don't have to do that. And I know I have my personal experience where I think of him every day.
No
but
doubt.
But, I don't, it's hard. You don't know if they think about him as much as I do or my mom. They probably don't. But just even them thinking about him and wanting to do this is just really touching.
Well, and if folks aren't going to the game that night, I do want them to let them know they can learn more about the National Registry and, in fact, request a donor kit at any time by going to cardinals.com. Join for Joe. But if you're going to be there on September the 9th, there will be an area, Alexis, where people can go and do this. And I know all three of us here and the folks at InsideSTL.com will do anything we can to promote it, because Joe was a fantastic guy, and we salute what you and the Cardinals are doing.
No, thank you. I mean, you know, it's a great cause. And going back to the home mouth kit, what's so great about that, too, it's just you can fill out the information, the questionnaire that's attached with it, and then you do your own mouth swab and you send it in. So it's, you know, just as easy, just as painless, just as quick and fast to do. So I highly encourage people who can't attend the game to try to do that. It's really great. It's a great cause. So
should be a great evening. Alexis, we thank you so much for joining us this morning, and continued success in your own endeavors.
Yeah, great job.
And
great
look forward to September 9th. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Alexis.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Alexis.
Yeah, September 9th. And as I said, if you can't attend, or if you're wondering out there, I'd like to help, you can go to cardinals.com, join for Joe. The text lines are open, and apparently Beer Cats is weighing in that this is the third time, let me read this, that this is the third time this week I've heard numbers being dialed during a call with a guest. My guess is that it isn't the caller, it's something internal.
It could be coming from this room?
Who the F is playing that stupid Simon game during the call? I shaved my balls for this.
It could be simply texting somebody while on the call, which we all do. It could be that.
What do you mean texting somebody?
No, none of us are texting anybody.
No, I mean, like, whoever's, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, maybe they have another...
Just do what you always do. Just blame Brian Hoffman.
It's Hoffman. I saw him in the phone.
You understand that Alexis, I don't think, was hitting buttons. I was looking at you, and you were not hitting buttons.
It was not me.
So what the frig is going on?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We can get to the bottom
Sneaky
of it.
Is Sneaky V doing something? Is somebody trying to sabotage the program? Iggy's been in studio.
He hasn't been taking
one of his smoke breaks from Salt and Smoke.
I bet it's Ben Boyd from KMOX, because he
that
has
could
been
be,
after us.
It could be Boyd or Klein.
KMOX has been trying to torpedo our effort for years.
Yep.
And this Boyd fellow, he's got a pair of tin snips, and he'll snip our wiring from time to time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it makes that sort of noise.
Because it is a little odd, as somebody said, as unnamed said, hey, Plowsy, it's people dialing numbers. There's no texting going on.
No, but I'm talking, if you have somebody on speakerphone and you're texting the person, let me tell you something, you're pushing buttons, which are same as pushing numbers, so that could be the cause.
Now you're going to, I know you're, I love
this
you.
This guy didn't understand, I apologize for this guy, I should have explained it more in depth, so my apologies. That
Ghost
was
of
my
Rudy's
fault.
Party line is what some people are thinking. She was too engaged in the convo to be texting.
I didn't say she was. I said that was could be one of the scenarios. I'm not saying.
My guess is that it's Ben Boyd up on a telephone pole
somewhere,
with a couple of wires and alligator clips, laughing as he's
just giggling along.
But I think that sound is only made, and I don't have one any longer, but from a landline. I don't think cell phones make that kind of noise in the phone when you're dialing. Only landlines do.
Beer Cats lets us know it also
third
has
ring for you, Iggy.
It's been happening
during big day for me, Cat.
It's been happening during other programs, which leads to the thought that maybe this is KMOX trying
there's
to
do there's a
something.
Saboteur among us. Yeah. There is we're being sabotaged.
Pousy has no idea what he's talking about. He should stop.
Do people not understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand. And I love you. I love you.
Let's say I'm calling the radio station. You're calling me. We're doing an interview.
Sure,
I have you on speakerphone, correct? You're
right.
On speakerphone.
But why would you be on?
Right. I have my keypad up. Let's say my mom texted me or my sister or my buddy, and I want to text them back as I'm talking on the phone via speakerphone. I said that. It's on speakerphone, and you're texting. You are pushing buttons right there, texting that person while doing an interview.
Two things.
Will you call the hotline right
that's
now?
That's happened. That's happened.
All
I mean,
right,
it's
let's
just
demonstrate it. Yeah. Here's the thing. Iggy brings up a good point. The cell phone doesn't make that sort of key.
It may or may not. I'm not for sure if it does.
And
text or click sounds, not beeps, dummy.
And as a texter points out, you know, it was in the middle of a pretty emotional thing. I don't think she's texting.
Again,
so
I'm not saying that this has happened. I'm just putting out one scenario that it could be.
Why don't you call the hotline, let him pick up, and see if you can get it to, and then text while you're on your speakerphone, and we're workshopping this, Doug.
All right, well,
I'll tell you, since you're in studio, I'll go out and smoke and do it while I'm smoking.
Oh, okay.
Brought to you by Salt and Smoke.
Thank you.
All right, so you're gonna call in. This is like we did with the WhatsApp, the WhatsApp test we did.
I'll put you on speakerphone, and then as I'm talking, I will start pushing buttons.
That'd be nice.
Like Plowsy's having a big day.
Do I need to actually text somebody, or can I just start pushing buttons?
Brandon in St. Charles.
No, text me.
Plowsy, settle down.
Okay. Just text me, yes. I'm fine. I'm calm. I just thought I was making complete sense. We've all done it. We've all talked on the phone while texting at the same time.
I've never done that.
I've done it all the time.
I don't think that that's the root of this problem, but I'm willing to workshop it.
Okay.
The only way you find out what the trouble is is by trying to investigate it, don't you think?
Dingle my berry. Just Plowsy stopped dialing numbers during calls.
It was not me. I couldn't. I don't have the capability of doing
Fred asked. I says, let's just say it's your wheat dealer.
I think it's safe to say there is a saboteur among us.
Scott Wrinkles ball sack.
Could well be coming from the building.
Are you looking at me with suspicion?
No. I saw everybody here during the conversation. No one was sabotaging. It could be someone beyond these walls.
All right. Well, this should happen like any second now. This shouldn't be a lengthy...
You wouldn't think. And again, Iggy's
right
Smoke Break is brought to you by Salt and Smoke. And Iggy's going to call into the program. And now, is Iggy going to be on speakerphone, Plowsy? How does this all work?
No, I told him to be texting me as he's talking to us on the air. And
you're two technical guys, so you guys should be able to work this out.
Yes, this will be pretty easy.
It should be happening 30
now,
seconds ago.
This has happened to me. An unnamed types in that it was possibly her face hitting the keypad, but I don't think it would have done it as many times as it did.
I don't know. That's the only thing that would seem to make sense.
Like if you have a Siri,
is that you had not texting, but you just had a wandering finger as you're holding onto the cell phone to your ear, and you got a little finger that's accidentally hitting a button.
Anyway. All right, here we go. Here is our test. We did this recently with the WhatsApp, so we could get Vivian Azur on from the Kremlin.
boy, this is a stupid show.
All right, Iggs, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, boys?
Oh, hello, Iggy.
Hi, Iggy.
How's the smoke?
I'm texting Plowsy right now. Do you hear anything?
No.
Do you have the volume on your phone up?
Turn up the volume, please.
It's up.
Okay. I mean, like, okay, so your phone is on loud. Okay, then it isn't.
Now, accidentally hit a number with your finger while you're talking.
I'm doing that right now. I'm typing away.
Okay, so that's not it.
Okay.
Thank you, Iggy.
Thank you, Iggy.
Enjoy your nicotine.
Thank you. All right.
So it wasn't that. Like I said, I wasn't saying it was, but could be a scenario. But now we debunked it. So we're good.
Huh. We got a problem with our phone line.
You know, at its very core, this is a science show.
Yeah,
show
it really is. It's like Nova. It's Nova-esque, that's for sure. Joining us in just a little bit will be Derek Gould to talk about the Cardinals. If you want to continue to chime in on the text lines about Plowsy's theories on cell phones and beeps, you can do that. Time to remind you again about our friends at Hot Shots. on September the 21st. We'll be out at the Hot Shots Dorset. Hot Shots is continuing their summer of golf as well, where you just play around a golf, take in your scorecard, and they say, what would you like? And you say, well, I'd like the free golf appetizer. And you register for prizes each month, including Walter's golf-managed golf foursomes to golf courses. And then at the end, the big grand prize, the Callaway golf clubs, the Callaway bag, the swag, and all that stuff.
I need new clubs, Jay.
Do you?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Someone will get
clubs.
Those for you, Doug.
Well, you know,
I'm using like 30-year-old golf clubs.
Well, it will make a difference.
I know it will.
No, I mean, you'll notice a difference immediately with the technology for the golf clubs.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
It's a Twitter question.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot lately. So you tweet something out. You're not trying to get in anyone's business. Maybe it's a birthday. In this case, it was a Mark McGwire interview that I did yesterday
yep.
for the Fox Sports Midwest. And then there's a back and forth about, I don't even know because I don't read it. So it's like people fighting with each other, but I'm on the original.
You were the original tweet.
So I always say, please take it outside because that seems to be
yeah.
like they understand what that means.
Right.
But how do you avoid getting involved in that?
Well,
all of a sudden
because
you have
so many followers that.
I bought them, Jay.
I understand.
Yeah.
But when you have that many, you're going to have some that go astray. And I noticed, in fact, I had a recent discussion with Matt Berger from the program.
Bergsy.
Mm-hmm. Bergsy from the night show.
He works
show.
Right here.
On the 95.90.
Yeah. Good man. He's a good man.
And he texted me something about, it was like a small jab at something Trump had said or something.
Tweet. It was not
tweet.
A text.
Not tweet. A tweet. Yeah, tweet.
Right. Old guys like me get that mixed up.
So. I understand, Doug. It was like at 9 o'clock at night, and the next morning I woke up and I had like 13 notifications, and I'm like,
what?
Did something happen in golf? Yeah. Did Tiger have a naked picture of him released?
My hack was what? No,
yeah. What happened here? And it was one guy. Oh, I'll tell you what it was.
Oh, got it. No.
Here's what it was.
Well, do you hold on for a second? We're in the middle of
something about here. Something about the free report. And I said, I wonder if he's read the free report. And all these people from Pennsylvania and their tweets. And I'm like, then Berger texted me, isn't this sad? And I don't know how that happens. I don't know how somebody latches on to just a general tweet and then takes it into another direction.
Well, if he didn't
you're
read
in the
free
middle of it, and you want no part of it, right?
No. Yeah.
If he didn't read the free report, he should have never been nominated.
Okay, let's get to Gould.
Let's get to Derek Gould, who joins us right now. And Derek, of course, is brought to you by our friends at GFI Digital. Time to talk some Cardinals with the man who covers them for the Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Luke Weaver put him in position last night. Just fantastic outing for him.
Yeah, tremendous performance. Exactly what they needed. I mean, he threw a career-high 7 innings, tied a career-high with 10 strikeouts. Wobbled. I mean, really never. I mean, I guess he got into a base loaded spot with a walk and hit batter, but, you know, was always in control of it and showed that he can do a lot of different things to get guys out. I mean, I think, you know, his start yesterday stood in such stark contrast to some of his previous starts, but also the starts we've seen from some of these young guys to come up from Memphis. I mean, there was a little doubt as he faced that lineup for a third time that he had something new to show them. And, you know, they're taking one of the ways that you can kind of see that is all the called third strikes that they had. And, you know, that meant that they were aware and had to be ready for his off speed stuff. And then he popped him with a fastball. And then his last pitch was an off speed pitch that, you know, the batter was clearly saying, well, you're going to try to pop me with a fastball, I'll jump it, and then couldn't hit the off speed. So it was a very, very reassuring and emphatic performance, I thought, for Weaver.
I guess the big question that everyone has now that we know for certain that Trevor Rosenthal is going to have Tommy John is how do they handle closing out games? We've already discussed it. I don't think it's any breaking news that a lot of people feel that Tyler Lyons is the guy that should get the bulk of that work.
Seconded? Or thirded? Or what?
Fourth.
Yes,
fourth.
Fourth.
Fourthed.
It's one thing to say, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to, you know, do it by situation and closer by committee. And I know that that has worked at times in the past, but generally speaking,
when
I can think of Cardinal teams in the past that have had closer by committee in a sense of probably a little before closing became such a specialty.
Before it started paying money.
My point is, it generally works out better when you have one guy who, you know, in that situation is going to get the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Closer's a little bit like quarterback, right? If you say you have two of them, you don't have one of them. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of the comparison. And, you know, Tyler Lyons has pitched exceptional. I mean, if you're ranking the Cardinals relievers over the past month, you're ranking Rosenthal first for what he did and then Lyons second. And, you know, the prominence of Tyler Lyons in the bullpen has been a long time coming and is long overdue. Why it took this long, and when I say long, I don't mean 2017, I mean years. Why it took so long for him to have a larger role, I'm not sure I'll ever understand. He really never did anything that didn't deserve a late inning role. He just kept being able to throw multiple innings, which is something that other lefties couldn't do. You know, so he got relegated to that role, and we all know that that's a role that rarely gets used. I mean, it's like they purposefully stay away from that role. So in some ways, it's justice that Tyler Lyons is needed now for such an important spot, and that he's earned it, because to my eye, he's earned a high leverage role for several years now and has done nothing wrong to dissuade it. And I think, I'm eager to see what he does with it. I'm eager to see if he rises to the occasion. I understand exactly where Martini's coming from, that the ninth inning just feels a little different, that the gravity of the final three outs is greater than the outs before it. That's true. It's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say it enough times, then relievers believe it. Then they go to the mound and they believe it. So you can't argue them off of it. But how a guy adjusts to that, and how a guy rises to that, and how a guy deals with, you know, the first time he struggles in that. I mean, we've all seen pitchers react differently, from Jason Mott to Ryan Franklin to Mitchell Boggs to Sungwan Oh. And I think the Cardinals will learn a lot about what their bullpen will look like for next year with how Tyler Lyons does in the closer role this year.
They may have an issue with who's had a couple rough outings in a row. What do you see has been his problem here lately?
Well, mostly it's left-handed batters, but in a global perspective, it's his slider. It's just not been as effective as he's used to in his career. It hasn't had the same bite. There could be any number of reasons for that. He's had to tinker a little bit with his timing. He's really searched for the feel for that pitch. But, you know, if it comes and goes, then so does his success, because he's being used in such short bursts. So he goes out there for one inning, and if it's not there for him, he's not going to get that second inning to find the feel for it like a starter would.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Legit Journo. Your sense of whether or not Mike Leake will get his start this weekend, or if they go with, a young talent from the minors?
I think conversation is building for them to consider alternative. Well, I know they're already considering alternative, for them to go with an alternative.
And that would be Flaherty, the guy everyone wants to take a look
at. So I was told yesterday, because Flaherty has a lot of innings, right? He's thrown 140 innings, and that's quite a bit. And that also tells you how good he's been, to be honest. And so I was wondering if, you know, their season ends in September, and here the Cardinals are, they're going to have to play September, you know, regardless of where it ends for them, they'll have to play it out. You know, is that a no-go for Flaherty, because you're talking about adding on an additional four starts or a certain amount of innings? And I was told that, you know, they he does have the and he is not there yet. They are aware of it, and that he is in play for a promotion.
See, my guess is even if they're not in it any longer, they might bring him up just so he's around it a little bit, because obviously they believe that that's where his future is. Don't you think there's a benefit by him, even if they're not asking him to start as much? I'm not saying that that won't happen or they won't be in contention. I'm saying either way, they would like him up just to be around it, don't you think?
I that may be the case. That may be how they're thinking. If you were to ask my opinion of it, I think it only makes sense to bring him up if you're contending. He's a guy who does not have to be added to the 40-man roster, can make the team out of spring training next year as a non-roster invitee, or can start the year off the roster in AAA. And just for the management of his options, which you hope isn't a big deal, but there's been examples of players that you also hope isn't a big deal. And I think the lesson there is Marco Gonzalez, right? One of the reasons why Marco Gonzalez was traded this year, and granted they could get a bat for it, but one of the reasons why the Cardinals were open to trading him is because he's out of options. And the reason why he's out of options is because he was added to the 40-man, within 12 months of being drafted, and then went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and really never got that hook in the majors like, say, Michael Wacha did. And there are far more examples that are similar to Marco Gonzalez who are talented pitchers, but because of their role or because of the team needs or because of the team's contracts elsewhere, get optioned out, and those go fast. All of a sudden they can go fast, and then a team is kind of blocked a little bit. Now you hope that doesn't happen with Flaherty, and he probably has the talent to maybe get here and stay, or get here and go down once and then come back and stay. All those things are possible. But if they're not in contention, then I think you probably let the rules, as boring as that sounds and as bean counting as that sounds, guide your hand more than the standings. But if they're in it, and they're in it, I mean, they're closer to the wild card now than they are the division race, so they're in it. This National League just won't let them free. Then I think it makes sense to go with the best you got, and it's hard to see an argument where Flaherty isn't one of the best they got.
Would John Gant be the guy they'd call up if they decide to go with another starter?
Yep. Yeah, he would be in. He would be another guy who's on the 40-man and would be the easier move.
Rather than Dakota Hudson, who might be a year away, is that how you see it? Or is he more than that?
I think Dakota Hudson could be 5 minutes away. Mm. Or what's the flight to Memphis?
Well, more than 5 minutes, but
okay, a little more than 5 minutes.
Six,
the eclipse has me all messed
30,
up.
30 maybe.
Travel, I don't know.
30 minutes.
Okay. Well, he's
that good though, huh?
I mean, the things that I hear about Dakota Hudson, I'll give you guys a little thing that, we were doing in the press box, we were doing the barstool chatter about who should be the closer. And, Hockman was talking about lines, which he wrote about in the paper today. Fredrickson was digging into the numbers, and looking at sort of a more widespread options. And Hummel asked me, well, who do you think would be closer? And I go, Dakota Hudson, that's fine. I mean, the things I hear about Dakota Hudson, yeah
but I thought you thirded when we said Tyler Lyons. You didn't mean second, third?
I prefer
fourth,
Tyler Lyons because he's here, and it makes most sense, and he's earned it. But, I'm just throwing it out there that because he's talented, and the descriptions I've heard of him is he has the things that a really successful reliever has in this league, and he can do it consistently. Now, you're into that whole starter reliever debate, but to answer Doug's question, I think Dakota is that talented. I think he's very good. In Flaherty and Sandy Alcantara does have to be added to the 40-man, and it's worth noting that he appeared in relief yesterday. So he's been starting all year and then got a couple innings of relief yesterday. So that's worth noting as they manage his innings, but also they're looking at what he can do in that role and have always talked about what it would be like to have 102 out of the bullpen at some point in time.
I like that.
So
like that. That's intriguing.
That those are all the things that are in play. But I just wanted to answer Doug's question about play or about Dakota Hudson. I think he's really talented, and I think these three guys, you know, all present different kinds of options for a Cardinals team that is looking for some sort of pitching, some sort of lightning bolt to bring balance to both the rotation and the bullpen.
And that is what they need. Whether or not they make any kind of move to be, you know, if they play really well and this thing goes down to the wire, great. But I think what is in the back of a lot of people's minds, Derek, is how does this team set up the next couple of years? I mean, you know, is this just a little bump in the road, not being as good as they were, or is this a trend?
Well, the trend is backsliding.
Yep.
You know, I think we've gone through this before, but it's almost one that we should all have memorized. 2013 World Series, 2014 NLCS, 2015 NLDS, 2016 out of the playoffs, 2017 third place.
Yep.
That's the trend.
Let me ask you.
That's not the right direction.
No. Let me ask you about Adam Wainwright, who had an injection and is basically waiting for it to take effect. If, and there's a lot of ifs here, Luke Weaver pitches well, things are solidified in the rotation, it'll be a while since Wainwright is removed from a start. Is there any chance we could see him in a bullpen role just because that's really where they need him? And if he has issues, it's going to be less wear and tear on the things that are bothering him?
Yeah, entirely possible. Could even be likely. You know, when he comes back, it'll be September. The rosters will be expanded. There's going to be ample support there. You know, I asked what was it in Pittsburgh? I guess Williamsport, one of the cities, or I guess towns. If Wainwright comes back and he's not going to have the time to build up his arm, could they use him in a bullpen role? Matheny, or I guess Mo, it was Mo. Mozeliak said, well, you have to be concerned about using him on back-to-back days and always having him ready. And I asked why. You got September. You can have, you know, I mean, they like to have a lot of relievers out there. They can have 11 out there if they want. So you wouldn't need him on back-to-back days. And Mozeliak said, well, if he has a prominent role, then you want him on those days. Yeah, but, you know, if you have him as an effective guy every other day, that's still better than what you got right now. So, it's definitely something that they will consider. It's definitely something that they'll look at. And it's something that, you know, to be honest, Wainwright has been open about. You know, he just wants to find a way to contribute.
Derek, you mentioned Flaherty if they're still in the race, and we just talked about the bullpen. Bowman, I don't know, maybe overused, but he hasn't looked that great.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. The September call-ups, who do you foresee maybe being added to the bullpen and maybe a bat or two?
It's going to be a lot of the usual suspects, right, for the bullpen. I mean, you've seen, Lucas up. You could see that. Don't know what they'll do with Myers. There's a lot of trying to figure out what goes awry for him in the majors that isn't there in AAA. It's going to be mostly guys that they've cycled through. I would have said Sheriff, but Sheriff is here already. Seagrass will come back. That'll be one. And then bats, I think you're going to see most of the guys that you've seen before, Sierra, as a pinch runner type and defensive guy has value. I think Aledmus comes back. I'm not sure if he comes back at the end of Memphis's playoff run or if he comes back right away. They're going to want him as a utility guy, even get maybe some start that bat gets going, even get some starts at third base for them.
Luke Voit, you think we'll see him again?
Yep.
Derek Gould is with us. Derek, I wanted to ask you before we let you go, John Rooney had some interesting comments as a Cardinal broadcaster, John Rooney, as it related to the game in Williamsport. What, and granted, when it's your team and you're in a quote-unquote pennant race, maybe it's not what you want. It seemed like it was an interesting game and a lot of interaction with the little leaguers. What was your take on having that game?
Well, allow me to pull away the curtain and make a point, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So they had this game in the middle of August, right? August is a grind. It's a grind for players, a grind for the reporters, as Kat knows. You're coming off the trade deadline. There's not been a whole lot of sleep, and now the travel gets just brutal at times. That road trip was already tricky because you had 2 days in Boston and then a turnaround early morning flight to Pittsburgh. And then into this mix, they throw a major league regular season game in a small town not near an airport.
Yep.
Okay. So the Cardinals got to take a charter flight. The Cardinals and their broadcast team and all their support staff got to take a charter flight. Jen Langosh and I had to drive. There's no other way for us to get there. So Jennifer Langosh of MLB.com, there's a two-hour rain delay Saturday, covers the game, then hops in the car and drives 4 hours to get there to cover the game, the games in Williamsport.
Right.
I'm a little bit behind. My deadlines are a little bit different. I drive halfway to Altoona just so I can get to the game, then spend 12 hours at Williamsport, cover all that stuff, and not have the charter flight home, mind you, have the four-hour drive the next morning at 6 a.m. to catch a flight in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So that's the backdrop. Wow. Is you have a complaint from people who have a charter flight taking them to the doorstep of Williamsport, and the rest of us, the press, had a 8-hour round-trip drive, all of which was done either in the middle of the night or before sunup. And I want to tell you, it was a fantastic experience. It was an amazing experience. It was not one that I would trade. It was
that cool.
It was hard. What's that?
It was that cool.
It was to see the interaction and to see the guard come down on these players and to see the kids react. I mean, look, there's a moment where we're all walking through one of the dugouts at Williamsport because I'm covering the team and sort of moving with them, and the players are going through the dugout, and Mike Matheny kind of talked about this. So I'm not really describing anything new, but just to give you guys a perspective, is there's a sort of a receiving line of kids on either side. The dugouts are not small. Luke Voit could barely fit in it. Luke Voit could barely fit in it. They're kind of submarine dugouts. And they're slapping hands with the kids. And the facial expressions on the kids match the facial expressions of the major leaguers. The kids are seeing major leaguers in their dugouts, and the major leaguers who once wanted to get to the Little League World Series are seeing the dugout at Williamsport, which they never got to go to. Dexter Fowler asking for a photo to be taken of him on the mound because he ain't get to play there. It just was remarkable, and I'll never forget the game. How many times am I ever going to watch a Major League Baseball game with 2,500 people at it?
Right.
A regular season game. Oh, and by the way, this is the moment that will forever stay with me, and it's just a little thing, but it was a hard shot ground ball that Josh Harrison dove to snag. And all those kids are seeing that game close up for probably the first times in their lives. They having seats? Well, yeah, definitely. They've never been closer to a major league game with fewer people. And for them, who all play the game really well, they all play the game well enough to get to the Little League World Series. It was at that moment that they realized the level and speed and athleticism and ability of a major league game, which is in another galaxy from the baseball that they know. And as that dawned on all these 12-year-olds and you heard them gasp, that was magic, man. I mean, it was worth every minute.
So you think maybe it's good to do, maybe if they find a way to fit it in somehow without making it too tough or some way, you think it's a good thing?
I don't know how it was too tough. The teams took charter flights.
Yep.
I mean, the one thing that some of the players would want is a day off the next day, which the Cardinals had. And that, you know, the Pirates were a little like, we got to play tomorrow. But, you know, the Pirates were also in their backyard. The Phillies are likely to get it next year, right? They'll go back with the Phillies next year. And the Phillies are even closer. Baltimore is close. New York, not too far away. You know, if they give, you know, the Union will want that day off the next day. And if they do that, you're looking at a really cool event that isn't really any different than what they do every year in spring training. And they get to fly.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Derek, thanks for your time this morning. And we'll see what happens with the wrap up with the Padres tonight.
Excellent. Thanks for having me. Oh, and you know what? I hope he's listening with the newest little one, but congratulations to Tim. It's fantastic. As you guys know, as I know, Kat often talks about his son and is very tired of me talking about my son. I mean, becoming a father is fantastic, and Tim deserves it.
Hear, hear. Thanks so much, Derek.
Thank you, Goolsy.
Thanks, guys.
And Goolsy brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from the basic help to the help desk to making your family outsource with their IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital, good folks, by the way, make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at GFIdigital.com. I was a little surprised at John Rooney's comments, but, you know.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
Well, you do something for a long time, and there's a certain way about going about it and kind of, you know, talking about the Cardinals being a playoff race. Do you want to play in front of 2,500? But then you could hear in Derek's voice, who was there at the game, mm-hmm. how much it meant not only to those little leaguers, but what it meant to the players to be at that place. Because, I mean, let's be honest, when we were all on a little league team and we'd see on Wide World of Sports, Taiwan playing those kids, mm-hmm. we'd go, God, wouldn't it be cool to be at Williamsport? So many of those, if not all of those guys playing in the game, had hoped to play on that field anyway.
I can't imagine how much fun that would be for a little league player.
I mean,
to make that
imagine?
Trip and play in those stadiums. In my day, you got a dirt field.
Sure,
that was and maybe a bench.
Right, there was no home run. There was no fence.
No fences. A lot of fields didn't have lights.
Right.
Back then.
No, we played at Brentwood Park, and
the ball could go into the woods.
Yeah, if you're familiar with Brentwood Park, the first field, if it goes through the woods, it's in a creek.
Yeah,
right. We only got one ball to play with, so we're playing with a waterlogged ball the rest
of
the game.
You got a ball? We tried to find a rock to play with.
There were rocks on the end. There was no grass on the infield. It was all dirt.
Yeah, can you imagine like being a shortstop or a second baseman walking out on that field and everything just being,
I never saw that in my little league career.
You got dirt. We played on nails. Nails and broken glass is what we played on.
Yeah, you were afraid to slide.
And we were happy about it.
And you better not cry.
No, there was no crying.
Well, I would slide. I would come home. My whole leg was just cut up with glass
and rocks.
You got
to slide? We were mostly crippled from the war.
Now I can't.
We would love to have been able to slide.
WW2 took that out of us.
I could try sliding with a couple of stumps into broken glass and nails.
I could see from a perspective. Man, I tell you, after a team would hit like four or five home runs, I'm playing second base. I had a shot put the baseball to first base. It was so heavy.
We would love to have been able to shot put anything. Our arms were gone.
Yeah, you'd see those kids come on Saturday afternoon at the little, because you only really saw one game. You saw the championship game, not like we got now with, you know, the last 26 games, the Little League World Series on ESPN or on the Ocho or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd lock in and you'd look at those guys. That kid's 8 or 9 or 11. They look like he was 6'2".
I think they're between 9 and 12.
Is it 9 and 12?
So that's a huge difference.
Yeah, between a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old.
And I think there's one kid playing this year that played last year, where he was in that age group where he could come back. You know, he wasn't Almonte, who was 46 at the time he played.
Danny Almonte.
It used to be these were small towns would play little league baseball. I don't think you have little league baseball at all in St. Louis area.
No, you didn't.
Sometimes they put together teams.
You couldn't even qualify for it.
No, I think there are some places in Illinois that do it now.
Yeah. I remember because you couldn't even get to it. There was no way to even get to it.
But right. I never traveled one day in CYC ball, Quarry League ball. I never traveled. We played Brentwood Park, and every once in a while we played that little thing in Maplewood. As you go by 40, you see it to the right there.
We'd play Baldwin. We'd play Ellisville. We play Creve Coeur, which would flood. I mean, with just a little rain, the Creve Coeur fields would flood. I was first base, not surprising.
Were you a slugger?
No, I was just a Punch and Judy hitter and just kind of waiting for golf.
Yeah, but at least you guys had parks. You had Ellisville, you had Brentwood Park. We played in
rocks.
Nuclear waste sites with broken glass and nail chips in them and no legs from the Warriors.
There
and
you
we
go.
We were happy about it.
Brentwood Park, I felt so bad because over the top of the fence behind home plate, it was the parking lot.
So you
know
the cars.
You know how many windows?
Cars?
You know how many cars got busted their windows?
Love to have had a
they
ride,
had carriages.
Right.
Yeah, you were horse and buggy.
Chariots.
There, right?
Absolutely.
If our parents were happy enough to have been maybe dad was a Spartan at some time and he still had his chariot. That's how we got to the games. And we liked it.
It was tough back then. We got 2 hours in the books, an hour to go. We may, I haven't, Sneaky V, have we heard anything? Tim will join us after the break, so let's take that break right now. And the man who started all this madness and now has a young son named Jameson will join us when we return. You're listening to The Morning After on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com.